Okay, so good morning again. Welcome back. Another week, here we are. And last week was our first year of this term, and we started, as we said, Chumash Vayikra. I know it's a bit of a jump, but hopefully we'll get back to what we've missed. And as I did explain last week, even in Chumash Vayikra, this I'm not planning on doing everything the way we did up until now in the Chumash, every single pasuk. It's a little bit too technical, so we are at this point still giving a general introduction. We will go through some of the concepts of the Karbanis, but it won't be in detail every single pasuk, definitely not. But for today, we have quite a lot to cover, and I'm hoping, please, that we'll be able to. Just want to see where my screen share, 1 second. Okay. So sorry, now I can't see you anymore, but here we are. Okay, so I don't know, something happened a little bit with the copier where it made a bit of a line through, but hopefully it is still clear enough. Last week, the last thing we mentioned, I think, one of the last things we mentioned, was this beautiful, beautiful custom that's actually based on a medrash. It's interesting, it's quite an ancient custom, where children begin learning from Chumash Vayikra. Many people are not aware of that. They think of that children will start learning from Chumash Bereishis, which is the beginning of the Chumash. However, we are told that young children, when they start learning Chumash, should start from Chumash Vayikra. Just to clarify, that doesn't mean that they continue to learn Chumash Vayikra in depth. It just means at least the first few psukim that they learn, that they're exposed to, and that they say as words of Chumash, is Vayikra. And many people have the custom that they'll read a few psukim in Chumash Vayikra and then go back to Bereishis, or some start with Lech Lecha, which is the fascinating story of Avraham. Whichever way, different people, different customs. What is this minhag based on? Now, last week we mentioned it was a little bit alluded to by the small aleph, but there's another beautiful thing. That's what the Kli Yakar explained, that there's a small aleph in the word Vayikra, and that's a little bit of one of the allusions is to young children. There are others which we will see soon, but mainly it's based upon a medrash. And I'll show you here, there's a quote from the medrash, and it says here in Aleph Estate in Medrash, Amar Rab Asi mipnei ma maschilin l'tinaikais b'toiras kaihanim. Why do we begin with young children with learning in what we call Toiras Kaihanim, which is Chumash Vayikra, another name for Chumash Vayikra? The ein maschilin b'bereishis, and you don't start with bereishis. Ella shahatinaikais tahirin. Why? Because the young, these young, small children, these babes, are pure. V'hakarbanos tahirin, and karbanos are pure. Yavoyu tahirin, v'yisasku b'tahirin. Let the pure ones come and involve themselves and immerse themselves in the purity. So we see that the children are pure, and the Chumash Vayikra, the psukim of the karbanos, are being referred to as purity. Now, it continues, the Medrash, and it says something very beautiful. It says, Lefichach ani mayla aleihem, ki'ilu heim oimdim u'makrivim lefanai ha-karbanis. And when they read, when these children read these psukim of karbanis, Hashem considers it as if they are actually bringing the karbanis. V'haydi'achas sha'af al-pi, shecharav beis ha-migdash. And Hashem lets us know that even though the beis ha-migdash is destroyed, v'ein karban noyheg, Ilule hatinaika shekairin beseder hakarbanis, lihaya ha'olam oimed. A very strong, beautiful language that the Medrash gives us. He says the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, and obviously there are no karbanis. And if not for the children reading, learning these psukim in Chumash Vayikra, the world would not stand. That's quite powerful words. Okay, so very beautiful medrash, and this gives us a little bit of an insight, but I want to take it apart just a little bit before we move on to understand a little bit more, really, what does it really mean? Why specifically the children? What is this idea of tahirin, of pure? And what is this idea of calling the karbanis tahirin, pure? If you think about it, And we'll see soon, as we learn through the psukim, the language that's used regarding karbanis is not necessarily pure, even though the person that brings them should be pure, and they bring purity to the person. But nevertheless, the karban itself, which words do we use to describe a karban? We say a karban is without a mum, without a blemish. We say a karban is tamim, is complete. Mufchar, it's from the chosen of the animals, like the best of the animals. But you don't actually describe the carbon itself as pure. Where do we, yes, have an illusion of purity, which is directly connected to the carbon itself in one place in the Torah? This is interesting. And that actually was in last week's parsha, Parshas Noach, when it tells us that Noach came out of the Teva and he brought the animals as karbanis, right? He brought, that's why he took in seven of the kosher ones. And it describes which animals did he use as karbanis. So the pasuk tells us he used the animals which were tahirin, the pure ones. Interesting, Noach didn't know, have the Torah yet. Had his, you know, he didn't keep Torah, we say, but and yet this aspect he seemed to be have been made aware. He seemed to know which animals were what we call pure, the kosher animals, and which ones were not. So Noach brought karbanis from animals that we don't bring karbanis from nowadays, but what did categorize his karbanis was that they were from the category of what we call tahar, the pure, the kosher animals. Okay, so what does that have to do with anything? So let's understand. So you say like this. We have to also, so now to understand this whole idea, we have to understand what is the concept of a carbon. So obviously, Noach brought carbonis, and we're going to see soon, we're going to analyze a lot more depth of why we bring carbonis, what's the basis according to the Ramban. But just for a general understanding, and something that we all know, what do carbonis do when you think about the depths of a carbon? And again, this is only in a very general way. Many times, or most times, okay, there are karbanis that people bring just as a donation, but a lot of karbanis we know are brought as a result of somebody doing something wrong, whether intentionally or more, actually in more cases, unintentionally. You bring a karban, and what does it do? It provides a kapara, an atonement for you, which means, if you think about it, what is the power of a karban? A karban has the power to take a person who has gone and transgressed against something that Hashem has told him to do, and he brings the carbon, and that overrides almost that transgression, and it repairs the relationship. That's what it does. Which shows us something quite incredible about a carbon, that it must be that is the source of carbonis, so to speak, something which is higher than other mitzvahs. Because if a carbon can repair the damage that you've done by not doing one of the 613 mitzvahs, the source of the carbon must be somewhere higher than that. Otherwise, how could it repair it? So we say something beautiful. So as I'll show you here. Karbanis euch von noch Matan Torah. So then, this is a beautiful sikh where the Rebbe explains the concept of the carbon before Matan Torah, after. But here for our just for our discussion, we'll just concentrate here. He says, so the karbanis are actually one of the 613 mitzvahs, so they are counted as a mitzvah itself. But nevertheless, nevertheless, we know that in what they accomplish, they're higher than other Torah mitzvahs. Und der far, mechaper, and that's why they can atone and they can repair when there's a lack of a mitzvah, because they obviously have a higher source. That's why they can provide a repair for the mitzvah that you have missed out. Another way of saying it, another version, v'na'id bring ta karban l'Hashem. What happens when you bring a karban? Drikter de mit ois zayn. Zain Karev Lahashem. What is he bringing out? What is he expressing when he brings a carbon? And it's from, that's what the word carbon means. How close he is to God. Carbon from Lashon Karev, closeness. You are close to Hashem. That's why you are able to bring this carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. He says, Vaser hat be'etzem al tzaid, this closeness you have essentially just because you're a Jew. Velch is nitali in kiyum hatayru mitzvis, and this closeness is not dependent upon what you do and what you don't do. Not dependent upon which mitzvah you've kept and which mitzvah maybe by mistake you messed up. You are still close to Hashem. That's why you can still bring a carbon even if you've missed out on a mitzvah. Der atzmiyestiker farbun, the essential connection from Aiden with an Eberstein is hecher from Torah mitzvahs. And we know that the essential bond between a Jew and Hashem is higher than the practical Torah mitzvahs that they keep, even though how do we express our relationship with a mitzvah? Through learning Torah. But our essential bond with Hashem, as we know, is unconditional and much deeper than that. And that's why, and we know it says, Bonim atem l'Hashem aleikeichem, we are all children of Hashem, af al pi shechatu banayheim, even if they've sinned, they're still my children. Und das ist der Tam farvas korban zayne mechaper eif achet v'avim. That's why a korban provides atonement for a sin. B'shasa idis chas v'shalom eivar eif ritzoni yisbarach, when a Jew, God forbid, transgresses on the will of Hashem, un eris poigim rachman alitzlan, and he causes some kind of a blemish, some kind of a breach, right, and there's some damage done, in zayn his achdus mit neibishlem, with his connection, so to speak, with Hashem, welcher kommt durch Torah mitzvahs, which usually comes and is expressed openly and revealed through Torah mitzvahs. Nevertheless, kenner das misaken sein durch karbanis. You can fix that breach. You can remove that stain. How? Through a karban. And what does that mean? Durch ma'oirer u'megala sein, through awakening and revealing. Dem atzmiyestiken farbun, the essential connection von a'id mit an Eibishin of a Jew with Hashem. Und in welches is nitshayach kamkam, and in that part of the relationship, so to speak, in that depth, there's no blemish, there's no damage ever done. As we know, this is like the unconditional love, like the parent and the child. Und das is mechaper vished up, so this actually atones, this actually wipes away dem pegam von dem chet v'avin, anything negative that was done by the sin. Now, according to this, we can now come back to why children specifically begin with Chumash Vayikra. It's very beautiful. And why, as the Medrash highlighted, the children are the ones who, by them learning the Chumash Vayikra, hold up the whole world. And if not for them, the world wouldn't be standing. Why? We also learn. Why isn't it our learning? So something very beautiful. We begin with the young ones in Chumash Vayikra. Let the pure ones come and involve themselves in the purity. So here we're going to say an interesting thing. Generally, we can divide our history, if you want to say, or our relationship with Hashem, into three general time periods. So there are three, we can divide it, into three general categories of time periods. Zint Matan Torah, the time from Matan Torah and afterwards, which is what we're in now. And we know, Ven Idin Hab Mekabel Geven or Mekayim Geven Torah Mitzvahs Al Pi Tzivei Hashem, when we keep Torah Mitzvahs according to the command of Hashem, that happens at Matan Torah and from then onward, we're going backwards. And then before that, there was a time period, Unhaven Dik Fundi Avais, that we're learning about now in our parshias, Lech Lecha, Vayera, Right, Chayisara, all those parshias. Vaz, Kimu Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shel Nayinit. No, we know that the Avais also kept the Torah. We learn a lot of stories of how they kept Torah, right? How Avram kept kosher, how Sarah lit candles, all the different things that they did. The Avais also kept Torah, but they kept it in a way where they found it themselves. It was their own initiative. They weren't directly commanded by Hashem. They kept the Torah. It's a whole different category than the way we keep Torah after Matan Torah. That's the second category. Then you want to go back even further. Unachfrier, funayach, by Vemens is given, nor ashaychus to Torah. What happened by Noach? He only had a connection. He didn't keep the whole Torah, and he wasn't as intuitive as the Avais to actually know all the 613 mitzvahs. But we see he did have a connection because he knew which animals were the pure ones. Those are the ones he took seven of. So he knew which ones would be kosher in the future. So he definitely had some kind of a connection to some concepts in Torah. And he says we can say the same thing is in our lives. These three time periods. First of all, he says, Nachdem v'yervert baru bas mitzvah. So again, we're going backwards. So there's the time from after a person becomes baru bas mitzvah and he is obligated in doing mitzvahs. Then there's a time period von zin teres yigia lechinuch, from when a person reaches the stage of education. Und sein kiyum ha-mitzvah, teirei mitzvah, al tachana zu zman chiyuvam. So therefore, at that point, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old perhaps, when a child begins to understand, and you actually educate them until bar mitzvah, and they keep as much as possible, right? We try to educate them to keep, but they're doing it as a preparation, so they're used to what they're doing. When they turn bar and bas mitzvah, it's not totally new, and they're able to do it. That's the second category. But there's a previous category, there's a previous time period. Noch kaidem shehigia lechinuch, before they reach the age of chinuch, perhaps you would say, it's two, I mean, even from when they're born, but 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, even 6 years old, when you can't enforce Torah, you know, you can't tell them, wait 6 hours, it's too long for them. They don't keep Torah mitzvahs properly, but we know they still have a deep connection to Torah mitzvahs. And as we know, we say a very beautiful thing. He says, Aber afal pi kein vibal, there is a Yiddish kin. So even though he doesn't actually keep Torah mitzvahs, the fact that it is a Jewish child, hatar oich demelt ashaiches to Torah, he still at that point has a connection, and actually a very deep connection to Torah. V'yaseira mizeh, im is gegeben gevaren di Torah. He was given the Torah as an inheritance, as we say. Even a child, as soon as they're born, has the whole Torah as an inheritance. Und hat ashaiches zu gidrei ha-Torah. He has a deep connection to all the different aspects of Torah. Und wie bald, as baya katan. And when, since the category we're talking about, this young child, is noch nitta der inyan ha-avayda b'Torah mitzvah. He doesn't really have the whole concept of serving and doing actually Torah mitzvahs, is by im der far nicker begiloi sein meile atzmis alza idish kind. Then you actually see in a very revealed way the uniqueness, the specialness of this child as a Jewish child. What does that mean? The ava pnimis va'atzmis von eibishten zu iden is mer begoloi by a idish kind koidem shehigia lechinuch. There you see that the Eibishter has a special connection. Why? Not dependent on what he's doing or not doing, because he doesn't do Torah mitzvahs, but just because he's a Jewish child. So in a sense, in a Jewish young child, you see an even deeper connection to Hashem. It's more revealed, it's more obvious that this child is connected to Hashem in a deep way, unconditionally, notwithstanding, not dependent on anything he does or doesn't do. Und das ist was der Medrash sagt, and that's what the Medrash is telling us. Yavayu tahayrim v'yis asku b'tahayrim. Let the pure ones come and involve themselves in the purity. V'bal der inyan ha-karbonis is to arois rufenu megalazayn di ava atzmis fin eibishtin. What's the whole purpose of a karbon, we said? To bring out, to reveal this essential connection between us and Hashem, between Hashem and us. Welches hecher von der Ava shal yidei lemet Torah, which is higher than the love that comes through, so to speak, or dependent on the learning of Torah, right? Because that's something that we accomplish, but this is something which is essential. Zei zayn in tahirin be'etzem, they are pure essentially. Val zei der langin in an art vu der inyan hatuma kumt nitzu. They actually reach a place where the concept of impurity doesn't even reach. Rirt nitan. Der far is yavayu tahirim v'yis asku b'tahirim. As ati is askus is tahirim. So this involvement is absolutely pure. Zolzayn durch idische kinder. And how is it done? Dafke through Jewish children. Velchazayn in tahirim, which are pure. V'yis taitched us up in Tanchuma. As it says in the Medrash. How does the Medrash describe these children? Einam yoidim mahu tam chet va'avayin. They don't even know the taste of sin. They don't know what sinning means. To them, everything is just purity, even though they don't actually keep Torah mitzvahs the way we would say, so to speak, following Torah mitzvahs. Defravas by zeh is meir begili, because it is lit up in a revealed way, the Ava Atzmis von Eibishtin Su'idin, how the love that Hashem has to the Jew. And just to see a very beautiful way that we can conclude how this works, that's why we call them the ones who uphold the whole world. Das was die Gedalim sein in Isaac in Parshas HaKarbanis, the fact that we will try and learn some of these psukim on Karbanis, us adults, is dachnita meisen, dar blayis his askus b'machshava v'dibor. When we involve ourselves, the main part is our understanding, our speaking. In other words, we engage with it in a rational way. We try to understand what we're learning. That's the main part, as we say. And the machshava and dibur, the thought and the speech, that reveals the intellect of a person or his emotions. In Zay is there ikar nitti isis. What's the main part at that point? It's not the letters. In other words, if I read a pasuk, Vayikra Hashem, I didn't say Vayikra Hashem, I said Vayikra El Moshe, and I don't know what I'm reading, it's not going to give me much satisfaction, right? I'm reading the words, but that's not the way an adult approaches a chumash. They approach it in a way where they want to understand what they're reading. So what ends up happening sometimes is that the actual literal, so to speak, technical words perhaps are overlooked, because what we're trying to do is to get to the depth of the understanding. And therefore he says, Nardem Seichel Aymida Velchazain and Ungatan and the Isis, the only thing we're trying to do is to understand what the words are telling us. Und Vibaldas Begilu is Dader Seichel, Verega Sha'adam, De Far de Herzich Dan Nitai Fazayfil di Maila Atzmis von Iden. So therefore, you don't actually see the real deep, special uniqueness of a Jew, which is what? The fact that Hashem chose us, not because we understand, not because we speak a certain language, not because we have certain advantages over others, but just because He chose us. We are the Aman Nifchar because He decided. We have no idea why He chose us. Dafke di kriya v'limud shel tinaikas. And here we have some very beautiful words. The reading and the learning of the small young children. Un in dem gufa maschilin. They start. L'tinaikas b'teres kaihanim. Dar retzich vegen der haschola salimud. The beginning of learning. Fun tinaikas ven zei zaninach. Kaidim shigia lechinach. Before they reach the age of even understanding anything educationally. Und bei zei is nach nita der inyan fun hafana vasaga. They don't understand what they're reading. They're a little bit like parrots. You find that in kindy, you know, you'll have a little 3-year-old come home. They can literally rattle off the whole parsha. They don't understand one word they're saying. It's magnificent. We get us all excited and it's beautiful. But they're really just almost parroting and mimicking because they have such beautiful memories. And it's so incredible. Just, you know, on Yontif, so one of my grandchildren, little Rivka, she's 3. And Yaakov was asking the question, why do we blow the shofar? So she, you know, the other kids are all sitting there. Before they even have a chance to answer, she says, we crown Hashem king. Does she know what a king is? Does she know what a crown is? She doesn't know what anything. But that's what the teacher said. So she can parrot it, which is amazing. But it's beautiful. And it's actually so important and so valuable because that's the foundation. But here we see something beautiful, that when the children read the psukim, you know, specifically in Chumash Vayikra, as we're talking about, what happens? We say, uns is by zei blois an inyan shel kriya lachud. They're just reading, literally, technically reading. They might be able to parrot a translation. They don't know what it means. Der ikar derbai is nit der teichen hadibur, nor di akimas svasayim, the moving of the lips, shel haktanim, of the young ones. Dafke dos ruftarais. This is what brings out umigala and reveals the Ava Atzmis von Eibishtin, the deep essential love of Hashem. Ubemele is der eiftu durch dem betachlis hashlemus. And this accomplishes in a very complete, in a very high way, un es bavarent es olzayin ha'olam oimed. And this actually is what ensures the world standing. Why? Because we're revealing the essential love, notwithstanding whether we're behaving or not. Because if it's dependent on our behavior, then sometimes we might be in trouble. And here we see why we begin these psukim specifically with the young children, they begin with these psukim. Okay, let's go on now. So we're going to go to another thing. Let's see now, as we were doing last time, we were doing some of the mefarshim, specifically, actually, we were doing on the pasuk vayikra, which I know I want to move on, because as I said, even though this one little pasuk, you can sit for many days, but just one more little insight. This is from the Al Shech HaKadosh, and he says beautifully, because remember we said that Hashem called to Moshe, and then he spoke to him. We mentioned that at length last week. And he says, Achbal maimer ze mefarish hakavanas hakasuk, who laimar, what is the meaning of the pasuk? It's to tell us shekibdu hu yisparech kavod gadol, that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu a tremendous honor, mashalei osa kein Avraham, which he didn't even do to Avraham, who Avraham Hashem had a special love and a special connection, and yet with Moshe Rabbeinu he gave him an extra honor. Where do we see an extra honor in this pasuk? Because we say v'hu ki b'tzais melech l'dabrim echad me'ayavav, if a king wants to speak to somebody whom he loves, to one of his loyal servants, it's not honorable for the king to call that person himself, that he should come before him, or to let him know that he wants to speak to him. What's the usual process? The usual process is, he will send one of his lads, right, one of his servants, to go and call this important person. Right, one of the people who serve him, to go and call the person he wants to talk to. And when that person is standing before him, so, you know, face to face, so to speak, he'll speak to him. This is the rule to the one who is beloved to Hashem. That's the usual way. Send somebody else, and we find it. Hashem did that with Avraham. What did Hashem do with Avraham? He sent an angel and he called him from the heaven. So first, an angel got Avraham's attention. Once Avraham was paying attention, then Hashem spoke to him. Only afterwards did Hashem start the conversation with him. Amar ki rak bim Moshe. So what we find here is Moshe is unique. Afilu hakriya, even the calling, even the getting of the attention. Shehi hachana el adibra. This is only a preparation for the communication. Hoya al yedei atzmai, that was done directly from Hashem himself. V'ze yoyimar, that's why it says, v'yikra el Moshe, v'gam v'yidaber Hashem ba'atzmai. He called Moshe and Hashem himself spoke to him. Shehoysa hakriya v'adibra al yedei Hashem ba'atzmai, both the calling and the speaking were through Hashem himself. Ze osa elav bilvad, this was done uniquely to Moshe Rabbeinu, ma'she'en kein la'avraham, not to Avraham. So very beautiful, just showing us the uniqueness and the specialness of Moshe Rabbeinu. You see that comes out quite a bit here. It's quite fascinating because in a sense, Chumash Vayikra is really the Chumash where we have the greatness of Aaron, because Aaron is the Kayin. And as we said, it's called Teres Kayhanim. The Karbanos are brought through the Kayhanim. And fascinatingly, we find, especially at the beginning, that it seems, as we mentioned last week even to show, that it seems that the Torah is so intent on making us remember that the real servant of Hashem, and who was the Raya, the real shepherd, it was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So quite a beautiful thing. Now, I hope it's not too long, but this I couldn't skip. There's a very beautiful Nesivas Shalom, which also is on the words of Vayikra, and it's just so magnificent. He explains, as he does with his beautiful, warm way, I think a very, a very applicable, something that we can, a very relevant message from this concept. So let's see how he says. So I will read some of it inside, even though I know it's a little long, but try to be... Vayikra el Moshe vayedaber Hashem elav. So he called to Moshe and Hashem spoke to him. As we said last week, Me'el Moed from the Mishkan, Lamer saying, and we read this pasuk, but we didn't explain much. Adam ki yakriv, I don't even know if we read it, but Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. That's the first pasuk which explains the topic, that a person who will bring close from amongst you a karban to Hashem, right? Because that's what we're going to be speaking about, the karbanis that people speak. So he explains, Isa bebeis Avraham. So this is, he's quoting from, this is the Slonim Rebbe, so he's quoting from previous Rebbes and from previous tzaddikim whom he learned from and whose svarim he learned. And he says like this, Behad de kosva vayikra, beloshen nistar, v'loy ne'mar mi Hu Hakayre. Very interesting. We did mention last week that it says he called Vayikra El Moshe, and it doesn't say Vayikra Hashem El Moshe, right? It doesn't say who's doing the calling. It's in third person. It's some anonymous, I don't know who's calling. Obviously, we know it's Hashem, but it doesn't mention it. It just says he called, and then afterwards it says, and Hashem spoke to him. So he says, why is that? What's the significance of that? So he explains it because this has a very deep significance for all of us. Shemerumas bazeh, it's hinted in this, al habaskol hayetzas bechol yoim. Every single day, a voice comes out from heaven. We've mentioned this before. It says it in Pirkei Avos, that there's voices. Actually, there's these, I don't know, loud announcements that are made every single day. We don't necessarily hear it. Va'imeres barar neshama does. And what does the voice say? Shuvu banim, return my sons. All of you who are lost, return to me. Hashem is actually calling out to us every day. Hi hakriya, this is the call. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu koirei b'chol yoyim lelev Yehudi, that Hashem calls every single day to the heart of every single Jew. Ukemaymer haBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh al zeh, and as the Baal Shem Tov explains, shebechol yoyim bas kol yetzas, every day this heavenly voice comes out. And the big question, dekasha mimanav shach, so the question goes both ways. Madua ein shaymimai, so why don't we hear it if that's true? And im ein shaymimai, so madu yatzas, and if we don't hear it, what's the point, right? We've had this before. It's very nice that Hashem sends out these messages, but we are unfortunately, obviously don't have the right signal, the right radio signal, and we're not able to hear it. What's the point? So either or, either you do it, then we hear it, or you don't do it at all. Why is it coming? So he says, Ubir shekriya zusha kadosh baruch hu koirei, mehar choirev. So he explains, the Baal Shem Tov explains, that this calling, this voice, so to speak, this message that Hashem sends out every single day from Har Sinai, Mailida his iris belibay shakal Yehudi, actually does stir us in our hearts of every Jew. Vafilu paches shebepchusim, even the lowest of the low, mi Yisrael of a Jew. Lif amim hu misayrer, sometimes he has a certain feeling, a certain awakening, a certain stirring. He doesn't know where it's coming from. Vizenayveya mikayach habas kol azayis, it's coming, it's flowing from that voice. He has no idea that he's hearing it, but he is hearing it, and it moves him. Vahachacham she'enav bereishai. Okay, so those of us who are wise, as we say, the Chacham Einav Bereishai has eyes in his head, which means a Chacham looks to the future. So what does he do? Mikayim bis iris hazayis b'chinas achasti v'lay arpenu ad shehi vesiv l'pnimius nafshai. When he gets this arousal, what will a wise person do? Somebody who's not a fool will actually practically do something. So when you feel a little bit of an inspiration, instead of just riding on that inspiration and letting yourself be in a good mood, you'll practically do a mitzvah. Why? Because that holds on to the inspiration, and that makes that inspiration actually last. That's why it's a very important thing that's spoken about many, many times. Somebody feels inspired, make sure you do something, whether it be a chesed to somebody, give tzedakah, say a pasuk tilim, something immediately if you have this high, because that holds on to it, that gives it a keli, and then what will happen is it will sustain. This awakening, so to speak, this inspiration will not dissipate. And as he says, and this gives him the strength to actually grow. And this is what it means. That's why it says that he called to Moshe in third person. This calling that Hashem calls to a Jew, very beautiful language. He says that Hashem is actually speaking to every single Jew individually in matters that pertain specifically to them. So the voice that you hear is not the same message, so to speak, that I will hear. Ukemaymer Chazal, Moshe shama v'chol Yisrael lo shamu. Right, we said Moshe heard and the Jewish people didn't hear. What does that mean? They heard something else. Why? Lefisha kriyazu midaberes l'chol Yehudi bipratim ubinyonim hashayachim elav bimyuchad. This voice, this special message that is given out, is specifically connected to each person as an individual, designated, so to speak, and unique to each person. And he says, Oidi Sasham, another thing that's explained there by Ifanacher, Devayikra Ksiv the Aleph Zeira, right? The Vayikra we mentioned is with a small Aleph. Vikriba, so how can you read it? This is one way of understanding this idea of the small Aleph. Because it's a small Aleph, you can just read part of the word. Let's say you say the Aleph is almost not visible. So it's Vayikar. Vayikar, as we mentioned, is Milosh and Mikra. It's almost like a coincidence. It's like it just happened. That Hashem happens to meet you. He happens to just happens. So he says, what does that have to do with this? What's have to do with this voice? That it just, so to speak, happens, an occurrence just happens. So he says, Kol hamu'ra'is, the hamikrim, ha'ayvrim al Yehudi. Every experience and every occurrence that we experience, that comes to us, so to speak, hareim kriya nisteres me'Hashem yisbarach. They're actually a hidden call from Hashem. Ha'kayrei li'Yehudi b'loshen nister, mitoich hamu'ra'is. Now he's playing on words. Loshen nister means third person, but it could also mean hidden. Behind this experience is actually a message from Hashem. It's a voice of Hashem. Hashem is making that happen. Like we say, Hashem made you meet that person. He made you be in that place at a certain time. He made the traffic come. Whatever it may be, whatever occurrence it is that you experienced that day, it's Hashem orchestrating it. But why? Not only because he wants you to be there, but he actually wants you to hear a message from him in there. And he says, what is the message? Let me just see. Hakarei liYehudi. He says, Shuva Yisrael, return, come close to me. Shuv v'chayzer l'sharshcha ulamekayrecha. Return to your source, return to your essence, return to whom you really are. V'hu al derech mashal lemelech. And he gives a very nice example. He says, like a parable of a king. Sheshalach espinay lemerchakim. He sent his son somewhere far away. V'hu shaylech elav tadur michtavim. So what does he do? The child is so far, so he constantly sends him letters. Haksuvim birimazim nistarim. And he actually sends him letters which are written, for some reason, in allusions, in hints, in riddles almost. Not clear. And in those, if you want to say those letters that need to be deciphered, al kol ma sheyaseh ve'eich sheyisnaheg, the king is hinting to the son what he should be doing and how he should be conducting himself. K'may kein shalech HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYehudi rimazim nistarim, so to Hashem sends us hidden, so to speak, hints. Al yedei kol hamu'rais, through all of the occurrences, ha'ayvrim alav, that we experience, that come to us, Shehem Dvar Hashem Elav, these are the words of Hashem, Eich Lehisnaig, how we should behave. That's one way. Then he says it a little bit more, and this is also a very beautiful message, he says. Another thing that we can say from Vayikra, Lashon Nister, so to speak, third person, Dehine, and also as we say, like it's sort of a specific, hidden, sometimes it's hidden, it needs to be deciphered, but it's a specific tailor-made message for each and every one of us. Dehine Eitzel Yehudi Yeshnam Itim Kashim. We all have difficult times. Shepachazal of Yitzray, that our Yetzahara seems to be overwhelming us. Va'aiver Nisyenis Kashim Umarim, and we are sometimes going through very difficult challenges, bitter challenges. And sometimes a person can feel I have no strength, I cannot overcome. It's too difficult for me, I'm drowning. And sometimes what it can lead a person is a person can become so bitter sometimes that they actually complain, if you want to say, it's not just complain, but they have doubts and they start to say, Hashem, you're sort of misjudging, if you want to say. Nobody else suffers from such a difficult Yetzirah as me. So it could either be challenges, or it could even be things that we find difficult to do, a mitzvah that we find difficult to do. And we say, you know what? You've given us 613 mitzvahs, but you didn't give anybody the big Yetzihara that you gave me. You've given me the biggest one possible. It's impossible. I can't do it. Shenidmele, as we say, nobody has it. She'ena misugal is gabrolav, and I'm not possible for me to overcome it. Aval ha'emesi, but the truth is, k'may she'amru tzadikim, just like the tzadikim teach us, she'kol yehudi yorad, la'olam kidei l'sakein eze inyan. Every Jew descended into this world in order to fix up something, one matter. Ubifrat hamiyuchad hazeh boi misgaber alav hayetzahara b'yeser. And the thing which you have to accomplish, which is different to everybody else, that's where the Yetzirah puts in extra effort to make it extra difficult for you. That's one of the ways we know. It's a very interesting thing. It says, and it's taught that every person has a mitzvah that they really should be extra careful in. And it's a mitzvah which is more connected to their neshama. So the question is, how do we know which mitzvah that is? So we say the one that you find the hardest, that's the one. Because why is it so hard for you? Because the Yetzirah knows that that's why you are here. And that's why he puts extra effort to make that more challenging for you. So if you struggle, instead of looking at it that I have a bigger Yetzirah than everybody else, and why does this seem to be so easy for everybody, and yet for me this is so hard, you have to change the perspective and say, ah, this must be a message directly for Hashem that this is why I'm here. I'm here in this world specifically for this mitzvah. And as he says, Sheminiach le'lekayim es kol ha-mitzvahs, the Yetzirah lets you do all the other mitzvahs, u'maisim toivim, u'bevat shele yisakin es ha'inyan hazeh, as long as you don't fix this thing, shehu tachlis yehuda ba'olam, because that's the purpose that you've come into the world. And that's why it says, vayikra el Moshe b'loshen nistar, that's why it says it in this way, in, so to speak, in third person, sin hadover hakosha libya. So the thing which was most difficult, harehu kriya nisteres, it's a hidden call from Hashem. Eilav al tachlis yudai she'olav yisake. And this is the call from Hashem, which is telling us this is what you have to fix up. And that's why the pasuk, actually, we didn't read that pasuk, but it says Adam ki yakriv mikem karban laHashem, that a person should bring from yourself a karban to Hashem. And it's interesting, and it says that you should bring it from yourself. And then it says, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzayin, from the sheep, from the, you know, the goat, the cattle, whatever it may be. So he explains a beautiful thing, that the carbon is really supposed to come from you, from what's difficult for you, and not necessarily what's easily available, the animals that are there in your barn, that you can easily pluck one out and say, oh, that's a good mitzvah, I like that one, I'll do that one. That's not mikem, that's not from you. And that's not the true carbon. The true carbon is when it comes from inside of you, the thing that is more challenging for you. Each and every one of us knows what that is, and it's unique to each and every one of us. Okay, so let's move on now. I know we've read these psukkim. I just want to read this one pasuk. Let me just see. I just want to read, and then we'll go more in depth in the pasuk. There's really one more beautiful concept. I'm not sure. Okay, so here's the pasuk that we were just discussing. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. Speak to, this is the second pasuk. We read pasuk Aleph last time. But we say, Daber, what does Hashem say to Moshe? He calls him, and then he says to him, what is the message? That Moshe Rabbeinu should speak to b'nei Yisrael, v'amar taleim, and say to them, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban laHashem. So here they translate, when a person from among you will bring an offering. The truth is that if you look at the pasuk, it's not exact, the translation, because if you want to say when a person from among you, then it should say Adam mikem, right? Mikem is from among you. Ki yakriv, who will bring a karban. And yet it doesn't say it that way. We won't discuss that today, but that's a very big question. We'll discuss that next week. It actually says it the other way around. It says a person who will bring from amongst you. So it's the wrong way around. The sentence structure is not correct. Like I say, next time we'll discuss that more and explain the question better. But as he says, this person will bring a karban to Hashem, a sacrifice to Hashem, an offering, min ha-behema, from the cattle, as you say, from the animals, min ha-bakar, from the cattle, min ha-tzayim, from the flocks, like the sheep, as we know. Takrivu es karbanchem, you shall bring your offering. Interesting, also the pasuk goes to plural. Do you see it starts in singular and it changes to plural? Very interesting. That's also something that we have to understand what's happening over here. And we won't discuss again today at length, but we know that there are different types of karbanos. There are karbanos which are called karban yochid, the personal carbon, the singular person bringing. There's the carbon sibur, where the communal carbonis that are brought on behalf of the Jewish people as a whole. That's two categories of carbonis. But just to see one thing that Rashi tells us, Adam ki yakriv mikem, when a person from among you will bring, kishe yakriv, when he will bring, karbonis nidava, bikarbonis nidava hadavar, I'm sorry, Dibur Ha'inyan. This topic is discussing nidava, voluntary offerings. That's the first topic of karbanis that will be discussed is what we call karban nedava, voluntary offerings, as opposed to offerings that we're obligated to bring, right? Like, let's say if you did a sin, a karban chatas, a karban asham, these are voluntary. This is something that a person wants to, is inspired, and wants to bring a karban. There are different karbanis which are categorized as karban nedava, and it starts with that. And then he says, Adam, and I just want to read this Rashi, very interesting. So Rashi says, Lama ne'amar, why was it said? Why are we calling him an Adam? So very beautifully says, Ma Adam harishain, lai hikriv min hagazel, just like Adam, the first man, didn't bring a carbon from that which was stolen. How do we know he didn't bring a carbon from that which was stolen? Shakal hayashalai, because everything was his. He owned the whole world. So obviously it's not possible to bring from somebody else. So we say so too. We have to be careful that lai sakrivu min hagazel, do not bring an offering from that which was stolen. Okay, so obviously that's just in its own, just a halachic thing, and there's many halachas that are learned from this pasuk with karbanis. It says, Habehema yachal afhaya bechlal. Maybe you might think that wild animals are also included, that's why it says behema and bakar and sain, cattle and flock. Everything, min is a word which shows that we are excluding something else from this, which means from this and not from something else. So each one of these words teach us a different halacha. See, Rashi tells us, min ha-behema, he says, not from all of the animals, even the domestic ones, not from ones who have done anything, he says, an act of bestiality. Min ha-bakar, he says, what is min over here? La-hitziyesa ha-nevad, you cannot use any animal that has been worshipped as an idol. Min hatsain, again min, so it's excluding something else. What does that mean? From the flock, lahitziyas amukta, to exclude that which has been set aside as a sacrifice for pagan worship. Again, it's interesting, this is a concept which comes a lot in karbanis, that we have this thing of designating. We designate an animal as a karban. Once we designate an animal, here we're talking, unfortunately, somebody's designating it for idol worship. That's a whole different thing. But even with holiness, once you designate, you say, this animal I am going to give to Hashem, you have to be very careful to make sure you remember which animal it is. You have to be able to identify it and never use it for something else. We have this even nowadays, not to do with karbanis, that if you decide that something has been set aside to use for a mitzvah, it is not so simple just to use it for a profane, just for a normal, ordinary thing. It's a very important thing that a person has to always have that, if you want to say that, it's a presence of mind in a sense. We can't, and we have to be very, very careful. This shows us how careful we have to be with our attitude, with our objects, with everything that we have. Okay, so all these different things are different halachas that we learn from the actual words of the carbon. And he says, Umin atzayin also, lahitziyas atreifa, to exclude an animal which is treif. You know, treif means, doesn't mean the kind of animal. It means that it was, let's say, torn up by another animal, right? Wasn't shechted correctly. That's called a treifa. So it could be a kosher animal, but then it became treif. Obviously, that cannot be brought as a carbon. And just interesting, takriva, why it says it in plural, it says, it teaches us, sheshnayim misnadvim oila b'shitfus, this teaches us that two or more may donate an oila offering in partnership. We take it for granted that, you know, even now with tzedakah, right, you can join together and give. But the truth is we have to be able to learn that from somewhere. And this is where we learn it from. The pasuk tells us you can join together in a mitzvah, you can join together in the karban, and it's equal for both of you. So there's all these different concepts that you learn from the exact words of the pasuk. Okay, so I'd like to go on to one more. Looking at the time, I know today we've spent a lot of time on not the psukim, and I really wanted to get to, but Emirat Hashem next week, we will really get into the real idea of what korbanos are, as we say from the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Sefer Achinuch very beautifully. But to just one more small thing, as again, it's more of an introductory idea to do with the first pasuk that we read with the small aleph, because I said we would come back to that small aleph. We mentioned that there is a small aleph in the Sefer Torah as well. And what is the significance of this small aleph? So I just want to show you something really beautifully. I'll try to be quick, and because we have limited time, so hopefully it'll be clear. There's a very, very beautiful story which is told, which is traditionally we've been told also. It's with the Alter Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, and his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, whom he raised. And when he was taking him into Cheder, he must have been 4 or 5 years old, And what happened was, and as we said, they learned Chumash Vayikra. So what happens, Zwischen die Sachen, was der Rebbe hat damit erzählt ist, as the Alte Rebbe hat geheißen dem Alamed, soll lernen mit dem Kind die erste Parsha von Vayikra, right? So the Alte Rebbe told the teacher, start with Vayikra. Nachdem wie der Malamed hat abgelernt die Parsha mit dem Kind, so after the Malamed taught this Parsha to the child, in other words, the first few psukim in Chumash Vayikra, what happened? Hat das Kind gefragt bei der Alte Rebbe, so the Tzemach Tzedek, Rebbe Nachum Mendel, he asked his grandfather, the Alte Rebbe, for was is der Wort Vayikra mit an Aleph Zeira? Why is the Aleph small? Which is a normal question of a child. The child definitely notices, as we said, he notices the letters, and he asked, why is it a small Aleph? And here the Alte Rebbe goes into a very long answer. We would think a very long, deep answer for a little 4 or 5 year old, but this helps us tremendously, and we'll understand why he gave this answer. So, what does he answer? It actually says that the Rebbe hat sich verdweket a hipshit site. The Alter Rebbe didn't. It's a very beautiful thing also in Chinuch, that when a child asks a question, somebody young asks you a question, sometimes we can give a very quick, flippant answer, and we can actually look at the child like it's a childish question. In a way, it is. All he's asking is the small aleph because he notices that it's small. But you see here that the Alter Rebbe became, so to speak, contemplated for a while. He sort of went into deep thought. That in itself was a lesson, that every question, every query, every communication has to be done with respect and dignity for whomever you are speaking to. So here the Alter Rebbe thought, and then he says, and then he answered. And how did he reply? Adam harishayin is given yitzir kapav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam, we know, he was the actual handiwork of Hashem, created by Hashem himself. Un HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meyid alav, and Hashem testifies about Adam, as chachmasay meruba mechachmas malachay hasharis, that the wisdom of Adam was even greater than the wisdom of the malachim. Adam Arishan hat gewusst meiles atzmai. He knew his own worth, his own value. Und hat sich mit dem bazich allein übergenommen. Here's a bit of a problem. And he allowed that to take over. The knowledge, the awareness of his uniqueness and his specialness, he allowed it to get to him. He allowed it to get to his head. Is durchgefallen in Chetei Tzadas, and that caused him to do the sin of Chetei Tzadas. Moshe Rabbeinu hat euch gewusst meiles atzmai. Moshe also knew his specialness, his uniqueness. And he says, und nit nur, was Moshe Rabbeinu hat sich nit übergenommen bei sich, allein mit dem. Not only didn't Moshe let it take over, so to speak, let it get to him, let it affect him in any negative way, but rather the opposite, adrabe. Das hat ihm gemacht, alev nishbar v'nitke. This caused him to have a broken heart. Was is gewen, shafel be'enei atzmai. He was literally low in his own eyes. How? How does knowing your value cause you humility as opposed to arrogance? Because what was going through Moshe Rabbeinu's mind? Trachtendik. What did he think? As an Anderid, another Jew, nit Amram's a son, if he wouldn't be Amram's a child, or nit Avram Avinu's a dar shvi, and not seventh generation from Avram, volt gehat as a hoich grace neshama, would have been given this high neshama that he was given, Moshe, when azel chus avos, and such tremendous chus avos, as we say, we all have chus avos, so, but Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, and such great chus avos, such great, if you want to say, yichus that he had, vier hat, volt yener zicher given besser vier is. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if somebody else was given any of those gifts, the high neshama I was given, the great parents that I had, they would surpass me tremendously. They would do so much more than what I did with what I was given by Hashem. Und das ist was HaKadosh Baruch Hu sagt in Torah, and Hashem tells it to us. How does he tell it to us? First of all, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'id Mikol Adam, actually says it clearly in the Pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble man that ever lived, Asher Al Pnei Adama, on the face of the earth. Von Yedin Adam, was is given? Every person, V'klein und Pashut, in Das, is nit given, no matter how simple the person was, Moshe was more humble than them. Hat sich Moshe Rabbeinu mit ihm Farmustin. Moshe actually measured himself against the lowest person. As jene, volt gehad seine geschenkte, nit Fardinte b'igiyas atzme. This is a very important line. If that person would have had these gifted, which means something that he didn't earn on his own with his own effort, ma'ilis haneshama v'schus aves, the great neshama and the schus aves, all this yichus that he had, v'alt yene zicher zayin besser for him. Moshe Rabbeinu always thought that person would surpass, would be way above him. And now what does it have to do with the small aleph? So here the Alter Rebbe continued. This is all what he told the Tzemach Tzedek as a little child. He says, in the tmunas ha'aisiyas v'sakadosh baruch hu atgegem b'sinai, in the picture, so to speak, if you want to say, the graphics, the way the letters are written, that Hashem gave on Har Sinai is faran dry elalei aisiyas. There's three categories, three different measurements. Asvan ravrevin, there are big letters. Asvan beinanim, the middle-sized letters, and Asfan Zirin, and the small ones. The Torah is geschriben in Asfan Beinin, and most of the Torah is written in the middle-sized letters. The Kavana is, as der Adam Badar Zana Beinini, because we all have to be middle, as we say. Not ordinary, that's not the word, we are not ordinary, but we have to strive to be a Beinini, to do things right as much as we can. We're not tzaddikim, that's what the way we are, but we do as best as we can. Und durch Teira kommt man zu Madregas Beinani, and through learning Teira, we reach this level. Adam harishin was durch hakaras milas atzmai, Adam who through knowing his own worth is durch gefallen bechete tzadas, and unfortunately then he stumbled and he did the sin. State Adam mit a aleph rabasi. Adam is written in the Teira in Divrei Hayamim with a large aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu was durch der Avodah von Hakaras Shiflus Atzmai. Moshe, through understanding and through recognizing, even though, okay, we'll see in a minute, he knew his greatness, but he also had such a humility because he knew anybody else with his gifts would have gone further. What happens is zugekommen zu der hechste Darge von Anava. He reached the highest level of humility, and that's why steht Vayikra mit an Aleph Zira. That's why Vayikra is written with a small Aleph. So there's lots of questions on this, because the truth is that if you think about it, here was a young child asking a simple question, and the Alter Rebbe seems to be going into this whole long exposition, which is even for us a little bit difficult to understand, and the child would have the attention span, but it wasn't just an ordinary child, obviously, but nevertheless. So we have to understand why he goes through all this detail. But also, even more than that, why does he have to bring Adam Arishan into the story? The Tzemach Tzedek didn't ask about Adam. He never even saw the big Aleph, because the big Aleph is not in Bereishis. Even if he didn't even learn Bereishis yet, but it's not even there. It's in Divrei Hayamim, which is all the way at the end of Tanakh. So he has no clue about it. Why should the Alter Rebbe bring in something disparaging about Adam Arishain when all we're asking is about the small Aleph with Moshe? He could have just said that Moshe was the most humble person and not compare him to Adam Arishain. So that's very interesting. It's almost like he's bringing something negative, which doesn't seem necessary. The other thing that's a very interesting question is that it says that when we put the big Aleph by Adam, here we're explaining it that it's a little bit of a negative, right? That it shows that Adam Arishan let it get to his head. But the truth is, when you write something with a big Aleph in Torah, obviously it does show something special about the person, because if the middle is the middle, right, size, that's the average, then big, you would think, would show something great. And it does, actually, because Adam was great. It says Adam, before his sin, he was greater than the Malachim, as we said, and he was wiser than anybody, and he had such incredible potential. So the big Aleph also does show on the greatness of Adam. Unfortunately, he did mess up afterwards. So we have a very interesting thing. We say like this, that it's not just, what's the idea over here? He's not just explaining the small Aleph, but it's a very deep educational lesson for the Tzemach Tzedek in how he's going to serve Hashem. So we say like this, every person has to know their unique gifts. Everybody's got something special, right? We know the famous line, Azay vim darf wissen die chasreinis, Azay darf men wissen die eigene meilis, right? Just as much as we know all of our lacks, all of our, you know, things that we are not so great at, we also have to know where our strengths are. So we have to know our weaknesses, but we have to know our strengths. We have to know our uniqueness. We have to know what we're good at. But we have to have a balance. And this is a constant, necessary balance, which means the balance goes both ways. You have to know your strengths. Because if you don't know your strengths, then any time that we will be faced with a challenge, we will be knocked over. Because we'll say, who am I? I'm a nobody. I can't face it. It's too much for me. Anytime we're faced with a spiritual challenge, we'll say, I can't face it. I can't do it. I'm just some simple human being that obviously can't do this. So that's why we have to know our special, special qualities, that we are all like Adam. We are. We have a special neshama and we have special, unique qualities, special, unique, if you want to say, strengths. But at the same time, we must always temper it, and we must always have, always at the same time, this special quality which Moshe Rabbeinu had. What was that quality? That quality of knowing that it's not from yourself, that all your gifts are gifts. You haven't earned them, you didn't do anything for them, and who knows, somebody else, if they were given the same opportunities that you were given, how much more they would do. What that does is it ensures that it never gets to your head. Time is up, and there's such a beautiful line I wanted to show you. He says something very, very beautiful. Why Dafka also we have to bring this concept of Adam and Moshe and the comparison is because we have to actually also see how Moshe Rabbeinu said. And Moshe Rabbeinu says what? That if somebody else would have the greatness that I have, they would be even greater than me. Why does he have to do that? Why doesn't he just say that, wow, everything I was given is a gift? Why are you comparing yourself in that way to others? So he says it's simpler sometimes for a person to be humble in the sense where they feel that they have certain things wrong with them. I'm not so good at this yet. I'm not perfect at that. But to see the maila in another person, that's harder. It's like we might say, I'm a no good and you're also no good. That we can live with. That's easy to live with. We that's comfortable. I'm no good. He's no good. We're all no good. We all find it difficult. But if we can live with that we are missing this and yet the other person does have that strength or does surpass us, that's true humility. And that's what keeps us in check. But as we say, we have to have both sides. Constantly, the fact that Hashem does give us not just special gifts, but we are born with special gifts. He gives us special strengths, as we mentioned before. He gives us special messages, and we can overcome, and we have what we need to face our daily challenges. And yet we also have to know that it's not from ourselves. It's from literally a gift from Hashem. And this keeps us in this sense of true humility. Rush that bit at the end. Just want to see any questions. I think you can unmute yourself now. Try. Yeah or no? No?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Okay, good. Good. Any questions? Any questions or?
Yes.